Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fills the tunnels. Never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. You will roll up grades of trial. You will cross the bridge of strife. See that Christ is your conductor on this lightning train of life. Always mindful of obstructions, do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore.
You will often find obstructions. Look for storms of wind and rain. On a fill or curve or treat, they will almost ditch your train. Put your trust alone in Jesus. Never falter, never fail. And keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail.
As you roll across a trestle, spanning Jordan's swelling tide, you'll behold the Union Depot into which your train will glide. There you'll meet your superintendent, God the Father, God the Son, with a hearty, joyous plaudit, weary pilgrim, welcome home.
Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fills the tunnels. Never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore.
Amen. I think the original song has about 15 verses to it. Hadn't heard it since I pastored in Louisiana and had a funeral. Somebody died and is buried up in Mississippi. And at the funeral, this woman got up without a piano, without a guitar. She had two teeth and they didn't meet. And she sang all of those verses at that funeral. Everybody was asleep when she got through. But that was good, man. You sang just enough, just right. I love these two men that are speaking tonight. because I know where they came from and I know what God has done in their lives. You talk about rough. I preached a meeting a few years ago over in just where you were raised. And you have to chain your car to a tree if you want it to be there when it comes back, and you better use heavy chain. It was so bad where Brother Buchanan grew up that even today, if he locks the keys in his car and he gets a clothes hanger to open it, he has all four hubcaps off before he knows what he's doing. Back in our day, they had spinners before they had spinners. They had spinners that didn't spin. One of the reasons I like Brother Buchanan, as I said, I knew where he came from, and what God has done in his life cannot be attributed to any man or any movement but God. But God. And same way with our speaker now. I know where he came from. Amen. Amen. When he walked into Central Baptist Church for the first time, it was in the early 70s. The hippie generation was on. He had a beard about like this, and hair as long, hung down, about the same length as your beard hung down. He came out of the swamps every now and then. The speaker you're about to hear is a testimony of the grace of God. And to think that God could save an old boy. Don't ever prejudge people. Don't ever prejudge people. If you'd have seen him that Sunday morning when he got saved, and see him now and what God's doing with him, you wouldn't believe it. But God can. Can God? God can. Amen. One of the outstanding churches in our country, up in Elgin, Illinois, just a few Sundays ago had over 3,000 in attendance. Just an old Cajun boy. Got saved. Got cleaned up. Got excited about what God was doing in his life. And gave his all to him. I love Brother Keith and Miss Carla. I'm so proud of them. What a great, great testimony for God they have. What a great work they're building. Great Bible college, Providence Baptist College. And I love it when I go there to see the work that God's accomplishing through this man's life. And I want you to hear him. I love him like a son. I thank God for him. And you're going to be blessed by hearing Brother Keith Gomez. Amen. Brother Gomez.
God bless you. Love you too. God bless you. Y'all be seated, please. Please be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much. The book of Job, if you would please, tonight. The book of Job. It's such a joy to be here. I appreciate all the kind words. The longer I pastor, the more I want to go back to long hair and a beard and in the swamp. No doubt about it. I'm praying about it now. And but anyway, I figured I'd disappoint a couple of these guys, so I probably won't do that. But I'm thinking about it. I really am. I certainly enjoyed the message just a while ago, did you not?
Amen.
Wonderful message. Thank God for Texas. Thank God for Texas. I owe a lot to Texas. I said last night, preached here last night, I owe a lot to Texas. All my preachers are from Texas. Of course, I was saved under Brother Smith. I was called to preach under Brother Buchanan. And I went to Howells Anderson College. Dr. Howells from here, of course, from Texas. My wife is from Texas. So I owe a lot to Texas. Amen. A Texan is a Mexican on his way to Oklahoma, though. That's what I'm... But anyway, I'm not going to win with that, Nana. It's such a joy to be here. I mean that. Thank God for men. I'd rather preach to men than anybody in the world. And what could we do without the laymen, preachers? Amen. Wonderful people in truth and back us and strengthen us. And such a joy to have good men around us. And it's a wonderful crowd on Thursday night. It's a joy to be here. Privilege to be here. Thank God that I'm allowed to come. Brother Smith, thank you. And Brother Howe, thank you. We prayed for your wife, Brother Howe, the whole church, and we'll continue to do so. I just want to take just a moment to tell my two preachers, thank you times 10,000. Thank you for never changing. Both of you men are my heroes. In a day of change, it's good to have some heritage and some background of men that got backbones like saw logs. Thank God for that. And I love both of you. Thank you so much for never changing. I wouldn't know what to do if my preachers changed. They made a gross mistake when they got me saved. They kept giving me Bible verses. And if they ever change, I'm going to go show them those Bible verses they gave me. I said, amen. I listened to Mr. Falwell the other day. I found an old tape. I listened to Mr. Falwell. Mr. Falwell was ripping everything up just like you heard tonight and just like some of you did, guys. I heard him say on that tape that a man was going to play the piano and sing on old-time gospel, but his hair was just touching his ear, and he got him off the piano. He said he will not sing. But now that'll rapping and a... Don't freeze up on me, man. I'm just telling the stinking truth about it. In a day of change, everybody compromising, selling Jesus Christ down the river for a loaf of bread and ain't got enough. I got more respect for Judas. At least he went out and hung himself. In a day of change, and when people are changing, when the Dallas-Fort Worth area has changed so much, thank God to see this group of men. I used to travel here with my preachers to preach when I was a layman and a deacon. I used to come here. This is a hotbed of fundamentalism. That has changed tremendously. Now there's some of you that are a glimmer of light and hope in this very dark, dark city that used to be a city of light. And thank God for you men are standing strong. You need to continue to do so. Don't sell out for nobody, no reason. One of the most convicting times in our lives will be at the bema seat of Jesus Christ. You take a strong stand, stay with the Lord, and He'll bless you in a marvelous way. Make a place for blessing, amen? Make that place, and I'll guarantee you He'll do it. Just sell out. So much has been said about Katrina. I got a lot to say, but I'll just say this. One of the local television stations down in South Louisiana aired an interview with a woman of color down in New Orleans. The interviewer was a woman from Boston affiliate. So she asked the interviewee how such total and complete devastation of the church, of the churches in the area, how did it affect their lives? And the woman replied, "I don't know about other folks, but we get our chicken from Popeyes." Amen. Some of you poor boys are going to get that by freight, but anyway. When I preach to men, I always like to help men. Because some of us, we need all the help we can get. Say amen right there. I'm looking at some of you. And so you ought to write this down. This would be as good as a message. You need to get this down. Now it's going to help you. I want to help you with your wife. Some of you look, you better be taking notes, boy, right now. I'll butt your head. Words women use. Words women use. Fine. Some of y'all heard that tonight before you left. Fine. This is the word women use to end an argument when they are right and you need to shut up. Fine. 5 minutes. If she is getting dressed, this is a half an hour. 5 minutes only means 5 minutes when you just got 5 minutes to finish watching the game before helping around the house. I'm trying to help you, man. You better. And I like the way some of you are so stinking henpecked, you can't even laugh at somebody else. I mean, bless God, you look. Just taking looking around before you laugh, man. What's wrong with you? You ain't gonna fool me, boy. I'm a watching you. Nothing. This is a calm before the storm, fellas. This means something. And you should be on your toes. Arguments that begin with nothing normally end with fine. Go ahead. This is a dare, not a permission, sir. Don't do it. This is not an actual word, but it is a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by men. A loud sigh means she thinks that you are an idiot and wonders why she's wasting her time standing here and arguing with you over nothing. That's okay. That's okay. This is one of the most dangerous statements that a woman can make to a man. That's okay means that she wants to think long and hard before deciding how and when you're going to pay for your mistake. Thanks. Sir, she's thanking you. Just take it as a compliment and go on your way, all right? You're going to get in trouble. You better take those notes, and son, I'm shocked that you did it. You're going to buy the tape, aren't you? Psalm 40, let's stand to our Job 40, if you would, stand to your feet for just a little while. I really feel impressed today to stay on the line of thought and prayer that the Lord kind of laid on my heart today. Preaching chapel this morning, had a wonderful time, good group of young people, excited, solid. Brother Reed's doing such a good job with the college, and thank God for Trinity Baptist College. I want to speak a little while tonight while we're not making those places for blessing. You've got to ask yourself a question, why aren't we making a place for God to bless us? Now, fellas, I want to be a little punchy tonight, if you don't mind, and you just listen real carefully. I don't care who you are in this room, all of us struggle with pride. It's in us. As long as you're connected to that stuff, it's in us. And the reason many times God will not bless us is because we have that sin in our lives. Oh, we can clean up. In fundamentalism, we've cut our hair. We put a tie on. We got all slicked up. Even spraying our arms now. We look good, got a King James Bible in our arm, and we look good. And we've come from the back of the tracks and the sawdust trails to our this side of the tracks in these nice subdivisions with a beautiful auditorium, padded pews, and carpet on the floor. And we're so proud of our humility. And we have come to the forefront. And if we're not careful, pride will enter in. I'm amazed at how much pride is in this room already. And you're never going to have revival ever that comes to your life until you ounce that stuff. It's something we've got to fight with all the time. I personally believe that every sin that we ever struggle with, at the root of it, and the Bible says we ought not be chopping leaves, we ought to lay the axe at the root. And the problem with most of us is that we're not cutting that root of pride out of our life. We're going to have to struggle with it all the time. And this is why the man of God said we'd crucify ourselves daily, all the time. Something we all struggle with. It's hard to take anybody bragging on you. It's hard to take. We preachers get in and do sometimes. We actually believe what the people say about us. I often want my wife to come hear what people say about me because I want her to know how great I am. The only one problem about that, she lives with me. Go to Job chapter 1. I had you in 40. Go to Job chapter 1, if you would please. I'll speak a little while tonight on the sifting of Job. Notice in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was a perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons, 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. Won't you read this with me? So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. I want you to look at it one more time. He was the greatest of all the men in the East. This man was a man that not only did people know who he was and gave testimony that he was this, but I want you to notice, please, if you would, in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Has thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him." Y'all with me? Look at verse 8. Hey, fellas, it's one thing for man to say something about us. It's another thing when God Almighty testifies of that. What if God could say that about us? And so we see it again in chapter 2 somewhere. Let me see. Where is it in chapter 2 here? Look in verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Has thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou hast movest against him to destroy him without a cause." What an instruction from the Word of God that a man was such a great Christian as Job. I could be wrong now, but I don't think I am. I don't believe there's a man in this auditorium that has that testimony. So I guess I'm asking you this question, sir. Why in God's name would he allow that to happen to such a good Christian? We get upset and stub our toe, and the preacher has to rebuke us. The preachers can't even preach what the Bible says about reproving and rebuking because we get offended and suck our thumb and head out of the door. Go cry in our cereal. We get offended a little bit and get slighted a little bit, and we're out. And here's this man. God was working in him for a reason. And all you preachers that preach this differently, but I want to give you a slant I want you to listen to tonight. The sifting of Job. My Father, I pray that you'd help. In power, Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you'd come and meet with us, speak to our hearts, change some man in this room, gave many. Give us a wonderful several days. May these men march away from here changed. If there will be one here without Christ, may they be saved. Amen. I pray we'd all examine ourselves tonight, make a place for blessings. May we do that by getting the pride out of our lives. Pray that you'd help us and bless us. We ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Al-Qaeda has plans and sketches. They still do, even after 9/11, looking for cracks in our security system. And Satan does the same thing. He's going to do everything in his power to make sure that he destroys the Christian. Our Fundamental Independent Baptist Movement is a wonderful movement. I believe it's the closest thing to the local New Testament church that I could read about. And if I could find some movement closer than what that book says, I would go and join it tonight. And I believe we're a part of it. And I believe we got the truth. And I believe we're as close to what the Bible says we ought to be as any other church on the face of the earth. And the sad part about it, we know it. And many times we're proud of it. And God Almighty is not obligated to anybody. Just because you say you have the truth, but if you're proud of it, God could move down the road somewhere and put his blessing and hand of blessing on somebody else if you're not careful. We're so proud of where God has brought us. Now I want you to notice something, please, in Job's life. He was a man that was a great man. Not only did people all over the world know it, he had great substance, but even God Almighty said, this man is something special. And as I begin to study through the book, I'm going to preach through the whole book of Job tonight, so y'all just settle in. When I study the book of Job, and I preach it so many times different ways, I see a man that really endured a lot. But every time I'd preach through it, Brother Buchanan, I always ask myself a question, why did God allow this good man? I couldn't shine his shoes. If that sort of judgment should come on somebody, it ought to come on me, not this good man. Why would God Almighty allow something like this to happen to such a good man? I want you to first of all notice the preservation, if you would. His preservation. I want you to see it in verses 8 through 10 in chapter 1. The Bible talks about him having a hedge about him all around him. Are y'all with me tonight? Look at it now. And the Lord said unto Satan, thou hast considered about. And then look in verse 9. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? I'd like to ask you that question. Would you serve God without blessings? Come on now, Brother Buchanan said make a place. I think we ought to make a place. I like blessings more than cursing. But I want to ask you a question, sir. Look up here. Anytime you go to sleep, look up here. I'm asking you, if God never blessed you, would you serve him for naught? Would you serve him just because he saved your wretched soul? Would you save him for naught? Would you serve him for naught? Well, that's what Job said, Satan said. And I want you to look in verse 10. It's very interesting to me. Has not thou, Satan speaking, has thou not made an hedge about him? And about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Job made that place a blessing, Brother Buchanan. But I want you to notice, look at the verse we just read. That's Satan. Satan knew Job too. I don't believe we stir up enough dust ourselves where Satan knows. Even knows who we are. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Now I want you to notice the preservation of Job. We see that, and all of a sudden we see how God blessed him, and you read down through all of this, and you know that, and all of you that read your Bible or heard preaching along this line, you know, I'm not going to reiterate all that, but you get over there in Job 29, you'll see as a young man, God had blessed him, and he had blessed God with his substance. He had made a place of blessing for him, but he was given to God, and God was blessing him in a marvelous way, and Satan always hates when God begins to bless and when God's people begins to prosper. Could I say this to Trinity Baptist Church and all of you good preachers here? If God begins to bless you in a marvelous way, it's going to upset the devil. You understand that? You're going to have stuff happen that you'll never believe in your life that would come in your ministry. You'll have thought, bless God, he's coming. He's coming with both guns slinging, and he's going to try to nail your hide. You understand that? The simple truth of the matter, we believe in a God. Most of us don't believe in a real and literal devil. And I'm simply saying that but behind every curse that comes to us many times, Satan is behind it because he hates when God's people prosper. And what he'll do, he'll come right on the heels of prosperity. And I'm not talking about this junk you're seeing on TV, boys and girls. We're talking about when God comes in and does something in your life, in your heart, in your ministry, and changes you. I'm not talking about materialism. I'm talking about God doing something in you and changing you. That's what I'm talking about. Satan's right on the heels of that. He'll bring it in the way of persecution. I want you to see it, please. Notice in verse 13 through 19. You know the story, you heard 1,000 times. I can't read it without crying. Boys, this is not a funny book. This is not a funny book. This is the King James Authorized Version. This ain't a story. This really happened. I mean, you look at it, he lost the oxen, lost the asses, lost all of his servants. Fire fell from heaven. The sheep, the servant. You know the story. Look on down through those verses. Upon the camels. Took all that he had. All of his wealth and all that he had with it. Took it in a moment. As this one spoke, another one came in. Think about what I'm saying, guys. Sometimes we can take things over a period of time, but as this one spake, another one came in. As this one spake, another one came in. All of a sudden, all of his wealth and all of his animals were gone, Brother Sam. But the devil is never satisfied with just taking what he can take. He wants to add insult to injury. I want you to understand this very clearly. I want you to see it, brethren. He didn't take some. He took all. Hey, guys, look at me. Trinity Baptist Church is just on the verge of holding a funeral, from what I understand. And y'all go come and look into a casket of somebody you love, and your heart will be broke that you're missing this individual that was part of this church. Brother Smith, I ain't never been to none. Well, there's 10 caskets of children. They're children, Tom. Huh? Can't you see Brother Job and Miss Job as they came to the church house and looked, and when they walked through the door, they almost fainted. They couldn't believe it. Their heart was about to burst. They lost all, but not only that, they lost all their children. They walk in, they look, and they see. I can see them as they walk to each one. You know the story. I mean, a tornado came. A Texas tornado came and took the house. That's what it was. A wind blew. You know that. Smoked the four corners, fell on them, killed them. Can't you see? See, it's not real enough to us, fellas. Can't you see them? Can't you see Brother and Miss Job walking up to the first one? That's little Joey, Mama. I remember when he was born. Can't you see him just move from one casket to the other? And we think we're so tough and we can handle everything. And I keep asking myself a question every time I read this. In God's dear name, Lord, if this man was such a great man, why are you allowing this man to go through this? That was going to be my little athlete there. That little boy was tough and hard to bluff. He could throw a ball, man. I remember when that boy was born. Go to the next one. Five boys, five sons. Go to little Susie. See them holding hands and talking about that. How Job's heart, Miss Job's heart, must have absolutely been ripped out of them. You see, you need to understand, if Satan can't get you through your substance, he's going to try to get you through your skin. I want you to look at it in chapter 2, if you would, please. And notice, if you would, in verse 4, 2:4, if you would, please. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. Can you imagine Satan coming to God telling him, buddy, you let me at him and you watch what'll happen. He said, I took his substance, and he might have could have handled that, but you let me touch his body, and we'll find it. He'll curse you. Brethren, can you imagine this good man? I said a good man. I said a man that not only had the reputation of the world, but had the very testimony of God Almighty himself, saying this man was one of the best. And now all of a sudden, looking at his 10 dead kids, God allows Satan to touch his body and struck him down. Job chapter 7, verses 19 and 21. How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? What he was saying, he said, I want to die. Hey, brethren, can you say amen with me? If you would ever go through something like that, you'd want to die. I just want to crawl in a hole. And all of a sudden, Satan touches him, and you know the story. He was struck down with sore balls. Brother Roloff told me one time, he said, Keith, sometimes I get balls all over my body. Had to sit in salt baths and try to help himself. This man, the Bible says, had him on the soles of his feet. He couldn't walk. And on the crown of his head, he had him all over his body. The Bible says, then he sat down in the ash heap and began to scrape those putrefying sores to try to give himself some relief. And we're worried sometimes when we're not treated right in the house of God. Or we feel many times that God has dealt us a bad hand because a few things happened to us. Let me tell you why we do, because the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And bless God, we were ready to fight God, and I don't care what you say, I've met people that are in the house of God, got a King James Bible in there, and they're bitter toward God Almighty. Because they feel God has dealt them a bad hand. Let me tell you something, sir, if you're not burning in hell right now, God has dealt you a good hand. All of the rest of this stuff is just added blessing, amen. Now, I'm simply saying, brethren, I mean, God knew that Job needed to be purged. Let me tell you why I believe God was putting Job through this. That great man that even God said was a great man. I believe that something had cropped up in him that we have struggled with, all of us in this room at some point in time. That as men begin to say how great he was, he began to believe that about himself. Instead of becoming a co-laborer with God, he became a co-equal. And that's exactly what Isaiah 14 says about Satan. When you start taking the glory for what God has done in your life or your church or your ministry or your family, sir, you're doing just what the devil did. I want you to notice number three, his pride, if you would please. His pride. Chapter 29, I, my, and me is used 39 times. Hey, brethren, look at me. We read the first part when he lost it all. Do you understand that the majority of the Bible, the majority of Job is written by Job himself, defending himself on why these things were happening? Are y'all with me tonight? Amen. He was trying to convince his friends, he was trying to convince everybody around him and God why this thing was happening. I'll show you that in just a moment. You mean to tell me God Almighty would allow that much Bible to be written? Yes, he did. He had all that down. You could read it and you see how Job was just trying to fight this thing and try to convince everybody that he was not really a bad guy. In fact, everybody was saying how great he was. Even God was saying I was great. Now, you cool it, man. This is for a reason. I'm not quite sure why, but when God Almighty comes down in your life and begins to do something in your life, you need to just shut up, sir, and just let it take its course, and God will show in the back end of that thing why he's doing what he's doing. But don't you try to tell God what he's doing and how he's doing it. I want to say it again. In chapter 29, I, my, and me is used 39 times in the entire book of Job, 333 personal pronouns. There's something about somebody that talks about themselves a lot and always becomes a hero of their own stories. You can put her down. There's some pride in their lives. You see, after Job became famous and rich and prospered by the hand of God, he began to believe what people were saying about him. The first seed of pride is planted in the field of insecurity and rebellion. We have an old generation of insecure men. I love you fellas, but I'm telling you right now, some of you need to square your stinking shoulders. And really don't worry about what people think about you. Just be a biblical Christian. Let the chips fall where they may. Don't be a stinking chameleon. I got more respect for a lost man than a Christian that always blends in wherever he's at. You take a strong stand for God Almighty on the job, in your home, everywhere you go, and you take a strong stand. Now, I'm simply saying that, you know, it's always planted. The seed, the first seed of pride, planted in the field of insecurity and rebellion. You better never take credit for what God has done in your life. We would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. I don't mind listening to my men of God. I don't particularly care for laymen sometimes to rebuke me, but sometimes the Lord allows that in our lives, so to humble us a little bit. But I don't mind those two men telling me anything about my ministry. I don't mind them telling me anything. Keith, you better watch this. You better be careful of that. Hey, you don't do this anymore. I don't mind that. Most preachers, you can't tell them nothing anyway. Don't freeze up on me, man. That's the truth. You can't tell them nothing. The only person worse than that is a layman who thinks he's got it all together and that God's called him to lead the church. Pride is the greatest enemy of the soul. Job ends up with a co-identity with God, not co-labor, but co-equal. Just like Satan in Isaiah 14, the only way pride will be forsaken, folks, is when we see God as he really is. I'm going to tell you what's happened in our movement, guys. We got all the mechanics down. We know all the methodology. We got the preaching. Listen! We got the preaching down. We got the singing down. We got our little menus. The Holy... Talk about binding the Holy God. You talk about limiting the Holy God. Limiting the Holy Ghost outside the building because we got everything planned. We're too proud just to tell Brother Sam, go sit down. You ain't singing today. Nobody's singing today. I got something to say. We ain't going to do that. We got to stay with the menu because that's what people expect. We got to come to our service and hear ourselves preach because we're such great preachers. You have to say whatever you want. Why don't we just assemble one of these days and just say, bless God, we're going to pray for an hour. Well, y'all freezing up on me now. Just pray. No, because this is what expected from us. We got to stand and preach and we got to do all this stuff. And folks, the problem is we have voted the Holy Ghost out of our churches by some of the ungodly music that I'm hearing coming out of the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches. We're voting them out because people are dropping their standard and selling Jesus Christ out. We got him so scheduled out of our movement because of our pride. The purging process is not fun. It's never fun. I said today in chapel, it's true, but Sam, when God begins to put you in the crucible of combat and the crucible of purging, and the crucible of tribulation, we don't like any of that. But God will put every one of you, before he'll ever use any one of you, he's going to put you through something that you would to God you would die. God's purging of Job came. I want you to see it, if you would, in Job chapter 38. Job 38 through 41. God began to purge Job. He let him write all that Bible there, all them many chapters. Trying to defend himself. He said in chapter 38, I want you to see it. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Hey boy, look at me. You've been talking now for all these chapters. Shut up a minute and look at me and listen. Stop trying to defend yourself. I'm working in your life. Let me work. Don't try to figure out what I'm doing in your life. I'll tell you on the backside. And could I say this to you? That we're so proud we want God to snap. I mean, you come when I call you, God. Yeah. Something happened in my life. You tell me what's going on in my life. Excuse me, Brother Howe, but I can't tell you what's going on in your life or your wife's life, sir. Just hang on. Amen. And God Almighty is not obligated to tell you in this life anyway. Maybe in eternity. Oh, y'all with me, guys? It's amazing how we're snapping our fingers. We want God at our beckon and call, and we want to know everything. Bless God. We don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. Look what he says. Who is this that darkeneth counsel with that word without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. Stop whining, you stinky little sissy. That's what he's saying. That's my version. Buchanan gave you his, I'm giving you mine now. Look in verse 3. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou? Hey boy, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, Joe. You know it all. You know why I'm dealing this in your life. See, look, when that thing came in Job's life, and Job looked around and he saw that he was the richest man and all these and had it all going, and everybody thought that he was that, pride entered in that man's life. And God said, I love him too much, and I've got too much invested in him to let him wreck his stinking life by allowing this one sin that's probably the very sin, the root sin of all sins. I've got to get it out of him. And I don't know any way of doing it except doing it the way I know to do it. Look at him, verse 8. Where were you, boy? I'm the one for him to see, son. I'm the one. Where were you? Look at it. I shut up the seas with doors. Why don't you try to reproduce that, boy? Look what he said in verse 11. I told it to come hither through it and no further. Hey, sea, stop! And it had. Brother Buchanan, the sea has stopped, sir, at the shore. You can't explain that. You go on the beach and there's the sand and there's the sea. Stop. Except when, yeah, God goes, I'll show them. Y'all don't want to straighten that? Don't repent? Then you got a tsunami. Let all them folks go over there, try to bathe over there in the Middle East about that time and a big tsunami comes. What a coinky dink. Hey, boys, y'all looking at one hellraiser. I was a hellraiser before I got saved. The man said it. I used to run from Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and all the way down that Gulf Coast. And it was a wicked, wicked, wicked stinking place then. And that was before the casinos. There is no telling how wicked that place was. And I'm telling you, God Almighty said, I've had it. I preached a sermon on lessons from Louisiana when God said, no! To N-O. I've had it up to here. You know what they learned from it? Go check them out last Tuesday. You see what they learned from it. Thumbing their nose in the face of God. You're going to have to be careful. We're not the same sometimes. Not in the same manifestation, but sometimes we do that. I want you to see it. He goes on down. I ain't got time to go through this. You read it. He keeps going about creation. And isn't it amazing? Now, folks, I don't want to be unkind, but look at this. You check 38. And 39, look at 39. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Tell me about the gestation, son. You know it all, Job. You've been explaining all this time. Tell me when the goat, tell me the gestation of a goat. When do they have their baby? What? Look, hey, guys, look at me. This is the Holy Bible. Why would God Almighty give several chapters of talking about goats and seas? If it's not important. I want all y'all to look at me and listen to me very carefully. I'm a compassionate man. I have a heart as big as my body, but I want you to see this. I know my God well enough to know that he's well balanced. And some of us, all we want to do is pick up the downtrodden. And we must do that at times. But let me tell you what God did, Job. When the Holy Ghost is working on somebody's life, you better leave it alone, sir. If you intervene, try to help somebody when God is trying to work on them, you're short-circuiting the work of the Holy Ghost of God. Instead of picking Job up out of all of that, sir, he put his foot on his neck. I'm not through with you, Job. You can read it. You need to read a little bit before that. Job was just about to repent. But see, just a little repentance is not enough. You've got to go the whole way. I don't know if anybody ever told you this or not, but if you're saved, God purchased you with his own precious blood. And he's sick and tired of some of us going back on what he's purchased. I want you to look at chapter 40, please. Chapter 40. Boy, I wish I could go through that. I don't have time. You just go through those chapters. It's funny, man. I love wildlife, and he was just ripping on him. Chapter 40, verse 1. Look at it. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. Well, blessed be Pat. Job, you're getting it now, son. I mean, after all the heartache and the heartbreak and losing everything and 10 children, and he's running his mouth for all those chapters, instead of God picking him up and saying, I want to bless you, son. You're one of mine. You passed the test. Your wife said, curse God and die. But I said, you speak as a foolish woman. Hush. I came to this world with nothing. I'm leaving with nothing. I kept my integrity. It seemed like God would have picked him up, but God was not. God still knew that Job still had something in him he needed to get out of him. And the process was not completed, Brother Chadworth. We always get off the operating table a little bit too quick because we always ask people for help. Look at it in chapter 40, if you would, please. He said, I'm vile, and what shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. You should have done that a long time ago, Joe. You see that? Look at verse 5. Once I have spoken, but I'll not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Close, Job, but not good enough. And I want you to look at this now, just look at it. And he begins to say, Job, you're oh so close, but yet so far away. Do you know something about Behemoth, verse 15? How about that Leviathan, 41:1? I know your little Bible said there in the little margin that some little commentator. I can be a commentator. Commentator is nothing but a commentator. And I know he told you it's a hippopotamus. Look down there. It's in your little margin, a hippopotamus. Excuse me, but a hippopotamus doesn't have scales. Look down there in 41:15. Doesn't have scales. That's Satan he's talking about, and you know it, because he is, look in verse 34, beholdeth all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. That Leviathan's Satan. And he's going down through this thing, and Job is pretty close, but all of a sudden he's still hammering him. And he said, Job, you're so close, but bless God, I'm not through with you yet. And when I'm through with you, I'm going to let you up, and then I'll let you speak. And all of a sudden, in chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, and I have understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Read it with me, brethren. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Hey, brethren, look at me. Ain't no way none of us gonna ever be purged of pride until we come face to face with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, when the first time you did, sir, is at that old-fashioned repentive altar when I came as a 21-year-old man and I saw him for the first time in my life, and I had to swallow all my pride and forget about the football accolades. And I said, when Bob Smith gave the invitation for out of Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except to be agreed? What I had to do, I said, I looked around that auditorium, and he had people raising their hand, and I looked around that auditorium, and I said, they read the sports page, they knew who I am. And big football players don't cry or get religion. Except the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me off the mat. And hot tears running down my face. Edgar, you were there. You sang the special that morning. And cried. And I said, boy, he goofed that stinking this place up. He did. He sang and cried. See, I never knew. I thought this was all a performance. I've never been to a Baptist church in my life. But Smith nailed it down. Tight. Gave the invitation. The Holy Ghost said, You ain't getting out of here, boy. And we're a little afraid sometimes in our churches we're having conversions without conviction. Having conversion without repentance, saving repentance. We're filling our churches up with bastards if we're not careful. These old preachers preaching said the majority of the people they ever preached to had never been converted. Yet we believe that all of ours are. And I came. And it was the first time in my life I came face to face with Jesus Christ. Stripped myself of my pride. I didn't care what anybody thought. Long hair and all. Beard and all. High platform shoes and all. Silk shirt buttoned down to here and all. And I swallowed my pride. And got saved. Excuse me, but sometimes that's the last time we ever seen him face to face. I want you to look at it one more time. We're not finished reading. Look at that verse right there. Now we heard. I heard about you with my ears, but now, Lord, I really do see. Are y'all with me now? He had blessed Job to the point, and Job still had only heard of him. But now he's seen him with his eyes. Read the next statement in verse 6. Job finally got it. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, Job. Now. I don't believe this thing. I know we need to get out of here. But you know that God, verse 12, 42, blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Because of one reason. Hey, good doctor. He made a place for blessing. And God blessed him. Then all of a sudden, like Abraham, take thine only son. Take thine only son, Isaac. God, what are you doing? This is the promised seed. You promised us. And you waited so long that I went into Hagar and fornicated with her. Now all of a sudden you gave me this promised seed that the Messiah is going to come from. And now you ask me to take his life? And he did. Abraham. You don't have to kill him now. I know that you love me. With all your heart and soul now, Abraham. You don't have to do that. See, you say, why did God Almighty allow that? Because Abraham got his eyes off the blesser and on the blessing. And that's what happened to this man. If we're not careful, we're going to make a place for blessing. And the blessing's going to come. And we're going to start getting the eyes on the blessing. And not the blessor. And that's what he did. When he finally saw him as he really was, he had abhorred himself. See, the problem is we're a fool. We judge ourselves by ourselves. But when you see him, he'll strip you of all of that, man. And all of a sudden he had abhorred himself and repented. And God said, now, we made a bigger place for you. For blessing. Job, let me ask you a question. Can you get it right this time? I'll give you twice what I ever gave you. But I want you to make sure you keep it right this time. Remember who butters your bread. That's another one of my versions. Guys, listen. You know the story. I won't belabor it. I'm through. I think we could have a great meeting here this week. If tonight. You listen to the messages. Tonight, get it right tonight. Knock all the chips off your shoulder tonight. Start begging God now to get the pride out of our lives tonight. And I'll guarantee you tomorrow, by the time Saturday comes, brother, I just really feel this way in your 10th. God's going to give you all a better meeting you ever had in your entire life if we can take care of business tonight on these issues. No music, the altar's yours. You know what it is? I said, you know what it is? Nobody can tease you. Nobody can rebuke you. Nobody can fuss at you. Only by pride cometh contention. I love men. Thank God for our men. What in the world would we do without our men? I believe God feels the same way, fellas. But he needs special men. Men that are humble. Men that God could use. Why don't you be that man? Why don't you ask God to make you that man? We need revival so bad among our men. Sifting of Job. I'd rather submit myself tonight than for God Almighty to have to do his sifting in my life. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Sometimes when Satan's through, there's nothing left. God wants us to get us down to our lowest common denominator so he can build a structure on him and him alone. God will do it for you if you allow him to.